John chapter 14. The Gospel according to John chapter 14. And good morning. It's nice to be with you again. If you may turn then in your Bibles to John 14, and we're going to concentrate only in one verse today. That is verse 1. John 14, verse 1. And the title of the message, Elevating the Troubled Heart. Elevating the Troubled Heart. From the ESV. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Let your heart be not troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Let's pray. Our precious and our wonderful God, we are so thankful this morning for such wonderful communion, fellowship with you, fellowship with one another. Speak to us now, O Lord, through your word, until your church is built, until the earth is filled with your glory. As we come before you this morning, looking at this text, O God, help our understanding, help our speaking, O God. In the name of your Son, we ask. We all say Amen.
Amen.
Elevating the troubled heart. I will begin by asking a question. I think a very relevant question to us all. What do you do? Where do you go? As a Christian, when the world around you seems to be falling apart, when you are facing disappointment, because there's lots of disappointments out there. Some people, they come to our country, South Africa, hoping they will find work, but they don't. Some of our people inside our own country, they go to colleges, they go to universities, studying so hard, but at the end of the day, there is no job. You buy a car, somebody steals the car. There's so much disappointment that is going on. And the question is, what is it that is troubling you this morning? What is it that is troubling you, maybe that has been troubling you also in the course of the week or in the course of the month? What is it that keeps jumping into your mind and cause you to feel some emotional challenges? Because at the end of the day, the truth of the matter, my friends, we all sometimes face difficulties. We all face trouble in this world, though in different degrees. Actually, the Lord Jesus Christ did say that in this world we will face trouble. So no one can be able to claim that he lives a life of no trouble. No one can be able to claim that he has not faced any trouble in this world. Actually, if you have been alive at least for 30 minutes in this world, you will know what trouble is. A small baby gets hungry and she cries. There's trouble. But in real fact, there is even more trouble than that. Our hearts are used to more trouble than that. Our hearts are actually familiar with more trouble than physical trouble. Maybe you are troubled physically, but there are also spiritual troubles, things that trouble your heart, things that trouble your soul. The heart is used to that because the heart is being troubled by sin. Because it is sin that brought death unto us. It is sin that separated us from our God. It is because of sin that we betray one another as people. And it is because of sin that we also hate those that we love. It is because of sin that we do things that we don't want to do, things that we know that they are not right. So our hearts are more used to trouble than physical trouble. This morning we have received an SMS that our sister Kuku has lost two members of her family. I don't know how close they are to her, but surely she is troubled right now. So the question is, in the midst of such troubles that are happening in this world, in the midst of confusion, where do you go? How can you take comfort in the Lord? How not to let your heart be not troubled? How can you have your heart be elevated in times like this? Because the heart can deceive. The heart can actually be confused and bring more trouble because of that confusion in your life. The Bible actually says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the prophet Jeremiah gives a question after that and says, who knows the heart? In other words, who can understand the heart? The heart is sometimes proud, brings confusion in the life of the people. And the question then is, how can we not let our heart be not troubled? As the Lord Jesus Christ is just saying to his disciples, where we just read this morning. So this morning, what we are confronted with in this chapter, especially in the context of this verse, is hearts that are troubled. And we are also confronted with a Jesus who brings recommendation, what to do, his exhortation, his advices, his comfort to his people. We will divide this study into 3 weeks so that we can see Jesus answers fully. What is it that he expects his people to do when they have a troubled heart? So today we shall only look at one. That is why we look at the only verse. So what we have before us first is Jesus' command. There's a command. Let not your heart be troubled. Secondly, is Jesus Christ's exhortation, his recommendation, his advice, his comfort to his people, which we shall find at the last, on that last part of verse chapter of verse 1 in chapter number 14. So first, let us look at the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your heart be not troubled. The question is, what is it that Jesus is saying? What is it that Jesus is meaning when he says, let your heart be not troubled? Because this is the very night in which Jesus Christ is betrayed. It's the very night whereby Peter is going to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the very night of great distress in the lives of the disciples. But it's also a night of instruction, a night of great comfort to his people, as he's going to be bringing this comfort. We are going to expand on this comfort in days to come. But today, the disciples are sitting there in great emotional and spiritual depression. They are sitting there worried. They are sitting there in despair. They are troubled in their hearts. Jesus is about to be crucified. Jesus is about to be killed. The man they have believed, the man they have trusted, the man they have followed for 3.5 years is about to be taken away from them. The man they have loved, the man they have obeyed, is about to be taken. Can you imagine someone that you have loved and obeyed, someone that you have considered to be your God? He's saying he's going to leave you, and he's telling you in this night that I'm leaving you. People are coming to kill me. They are sitting there wondering what's going to be happening to them after Jesus Christ has been taken away. They have a right to be distressed. They have a right to be troubled. Because this is the man they followed, a man who opened people's eyes. He healed the sick. He healed the crippled. And above all, after delivering people from demon possession, Jesus also forgave sin. This is the man they are worried about. These disciples are sitting here hearing Jesus in this night. Jesus is speaking to them clearly that the death that is coming to him, something that is coming to him, is so violent in a way that he himself is troubled in his heart and in his spirit. He did say that. And now the disciples are sitting there worried. What is going to happen to us? That's what trouble in this world sometimes do. What is going to happen tomorrow? They are sitting there worried. They are in despair. But above all, what is worrying them, Jesus has just said to them, they are about to fall into sin. Jesus is saying, Peter is going to deny him. And Judas Iscariot is about to betray our Lord Jesus Christ. And the rest, they are about to be scattered like a sheep without a shepherd. And in their great moment then of discomfort, in their great moment of depression, their great moment of despair, in this great perplexity, Jesus is saying to them, do not let your heart be troubled. Can you imagine? You feel so sad. Things are happening in this world. Life is not, doesn't seem to be fair, because we've got this way of judging what is fair. And Jesus says, do not be troubled. You're asking yourself, Christ, do you understand the situation I'm going through? Are you sure I must not be worried? Do you even care what is happening in my life? Do you see the life that I'm going through? I just lost this and that. And you are saying, let not your heart be troubled. Do you understand? Do you even care? And the point of the matter and the truth of the matter, my friends, is that Jesus actually knows what they are feeling. He knows how they feel. He is actually aware of their trouble. He is aware of our own troubles right now, our own different troubles. Jesus is aware of our suffering and is aware of our sorrows. He is not blind to our trouble, my friend. He is not expecting us to feel no sadness. That is not the thing. He is not expecting us to feel like, to be like some super spiritual Christians who feels nothing, who does not cry, who does not weep when there is trouble. We are not expecting people not to cry when there is trouble. Jesus Christ is not saying to his disciples, ignore what you are feeling, ignore what you see. No. You have a right to grieve when it's time to grieve. You have a right to cry when it's time to cry. But there's a difference of having death causing trouble in your heart, trouble that keeps you down. He's not expecting us, brothers and sisters, not to feel anything, to hide our feelings, to deny our sorrows, to deny our pain. He's not expecting us to say we are fine when we are not fine. We are not sick. That's what we say when we are sick. There's a theologist going around, don't say you are sick because you'll be more sick. But Christ is not expecting us to hide our feelings and start to lie to ourselves and lie to one another. Lie to him as well. When you are sick, you are sick. That is why you're going to cast your burden unto Christ. How are you going to cast your burden unto Christ? You just deny that you are sick. You just deny that you need help. We need help. That is why maybe people who really need salvation cannot come to Christ, because they deny everything. We teach them to deny everything. Don't say you are a sinner, because you'll always be a sinner. I said one day, when Nonto was 6 months old or 8 months, I said her name was Hoho. Her mother used to call her Hoho. And I said, Mubi. And one friend, a good friend, a pastor, came to me and says, never call your child Hoho. You won't like it when she gets ugly. Wow, I just said Hoho because actually she's pretty. I'm just making sure that the other children can fit in, you know. But she says, don't call her Hoho. But brothers, that's not what Jesus is teaching here. He's not saying, deny reality and don't face the reality. Hide your feelings in your heart. That is not the point. Don't act. That's what Jesus is teaching here. Don't act like there's nothing going on. Something is going on, I'm aware. You have troubled heart, but do not let your heart be troubled. And I'm going to explain what does he mean then by saying, not let your heart be troubled. All that he wants us to do is to lift up our eyes unto God, is to lift up our songs of praise and lift up our hearts unto him as Lord and Savior. He wants us to set aside our trouble and let them not move us offshore. I'm beginning to explain. He wants us not to let our trouble shift our focus. He says, in the middle or in the midst of your confusion, in the midst of your sorrow, in the midst of your pain, let your faith be not moved. That's the point here. Let your faith be not moved. Don't let your faith fail. Of course, he's talking to Christians, Bazalwane. Only Christians have faith. That's why we don't tell people, have faith. People who are out there, they need to have Jesus, not faith. We are the ones who have been given the gift of faith. He's saying to his disciples who are Christians, and I'm going to prove to you, don't let your faith be moved. So the problem here is not believing. Christians' problem is not believing. We believe. That's not the problem. The problem is faith. Sometimes our faith waver from time to time. When challenges come, when disappointment comes, these guys have been challenged for Christ about to be taken, for they about to fall into sin. But Jesus say, do not worry about all this stuff. It is going to happen, but there's a reason why it must happen, and I'm going to explain the reason more next week. That's the way of inviting more people to come. I was hoping that will work, but yeah. Next week, I'll explain more on what does this mean. But Jesus said, don't worry. Don't allow trouble that is happening, the present trouble that you're going through, don't let it be something that is like it's of a load upon your shoulder. Don't let trouble trouble you even more if it's troubling you. In other words, you need to calm your heart down. You need not to let anything disturb your peace, because you are in Christ, you have peace. For Christ has come and gave you peace that surpasses all understanding. He's talking to Christians here. He's talking to men who believes. And I'm going to prove that they are believing, although he says, believe. And I'm going to explain why would he say, believe. But the point of the matter, do not worry how you're going to make it tonight. Do not worry how you're going to make it through the night without me or in my absence, because I'm always with you. The message that we're getting for on Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled is that we should not dwell. We should not dwell. Don't build a shack of trouble in your life. Do not dwell in your trouble. You have got the trouble, then you're building a shack. You're standing there. Now it's your dwelling place. I'm in trouble. My name is trouble. I'm always going to be troubled. No. Jesus is saying, as Christians, we must know we've got better hope than that. We've got better things than that. And I'm going to still point to you what is that is talking about. But the point of the matter, don't dwell in your trouble. If you allow your heart to be troubled, remember, it doesn't pay off. That is what he's saying. It doesn't pay off. He doesn't say we won't feel sorrow. Probably Gugu where she is right now. She's in sorrow, in pain, I don't know, in trouble. But the point of the matter, you can bring any trouble you want. The point of the matter, we must not dwell in that trouble. Don't keep your trouble in your heart. But lay all your burdens upon the Lord. Because if you are failing to lay your burdens upon Jesus, you will not have a peaceful night. This is a night of his betrayal. So if these people will keep on being troubled like this, they will not have a peaceful night. They will not have a peaceful evening. Can you imagine? Remember when you had trouble in your heart and you're trying to sleep? Is it possible to sleep with trouble, overloaded with anxiety? You're trying to fix everything and you're trying to bring all the puzzles together. Nothing is happening. So Jesus is actually saying, who of you can add? This is a question you must ask to ourselves. Who of you can add a single day in his life by being worried? And in the contrary, who of you can take a single day out of your life if you will cast all your burdens upon the Lord Jesus? If you're going to have Jesus, what then? What is it that you will need from there? If you can be able to cast your anxiety upon him. So Jesus is saying, yes, there is a situation. Something is happening in our lives. Each and every day we face difficulties. At work, those who are working, there's troubles. Those who have money, they know there is trouble. Those who doesn't have money, they also have troubled hearts. Those who are working have troubled hearts. Bosses are mistreating them. They're taking vacation, going to Dubai, they come back, the boss says, I didn't allow that. There's trouble at work. Those who are not working, they're sitting here. What am I going to eat? There's trouble to those who are unemployed. Trouble is always there. But the point is, you must not be deviated within you because of trouble. You need to be elevated. You need to be lifted up in your spirit, in your heart. You must not let your faith be moved. That is what he's meaning. Not let your faith be moved. This is not the time to be wavering and be tossed around by anxiety. But you say, wait a minute. How can this be? You're asking a question. I'm troubled. You don't understand. How can, is this even possible? My child is sick, even to the point of death. I just lost my job. I just lost my grandmother to cancer. I'm about to lose my car. I'm about to lose my house. And you are saying, let not your heart be troubled. But these things are happening right now. I can feel it. Jesus said, yes, that's what I'm saying. But I'm not saying it is wrong for you to analyze your problem. I didn't say that. I'm not saying that's Jesus. It is wrong for you to cry. I'm not saying it is wrong for you to acknowledge your problems and try to fix them. But don't dwell in your problem. Don't let your faith be moved because of your problems. Don't let your focus be taken offshore like a ship swept up by a strong wind. That is the thing here. That is a big challenge for us as Christians. When we will let our faith be moved. When we see things like he and Olivan, so stubborn people, so hostile hearts, then we have our heart troubles. We've been laboring here for 3 years. We've been laboring here for 2 years. Maybe there's little fruit that we can see. But how long did Jesus Christ himself labor for us? How long did he labor in your own life to bring you to faith? You can't even answer. How many times has he protected us where we didn't even know how we're going to be protected? How many times has he led us to himself and rejected him? He had to be on earth for 3 years, suffering the things that he was seeing. It was not only the cross that he had to suffer, the things that he had to see, the sickness of this world, the same things that get you sick today. The things that you see and you don't like it. People marching on the street, acting they are like they are Christians, but they are just religious. Jesus had to go through all these things. Seeing the Pharisees acting like the children of God, but they are goats. They are the children of the devil. He had to suffer these things. Seeing his friends dying before him. Martha weeping. Mary weeping. Lazarus is dead. Jesus Christ saw all these things. But Jesus says, I am not saying you should not feel this. I am able also to sympathize with you. I also wept in Jerusalem. I weep for Jerusalem. I've got compassion. That's why we are in Christ. He's got compassion. I also weep at the tomb of Lazarus. Actually, Jesus, according to the book of Hebrews, he wept even in Gethsemane, where we weep because of our sins. Just imagine how much these sins can be if they can cause the Lord of glory to weep. Facing the wrath of God because of us. You say, I'm not saying don't. I also went through this thing. But all that I'm saying, do not let temporal stuff disturb your destiny. Let not something blind fold you to the vision and the goal and the life that is set before you. Don't let your faith be moved. Do not let your faith waver. But you're saying, no, some stuff are not temporary. Some stuff are actually permanent. That's what we say. I've got terminal illness. I've got a full-blown cancer. I've got a full-blown TB, if you get that. I've got HIV. So you can't say these things are temporal. They must not move my faith. They must not move my focus. These things are not temporal. They are permanent. No, they are not permanent. They are temporal. For as long as you will know, for as long as you will understand that if you have come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have turned away from your sin and trusted in Jesus, called upon him, turn away from your wickedness, you will understand that the Bible promises that this body will have to put the imperishable, this body will have to put the immortality, this immortal body, this perishable body will have to be changed, will have a new body in heaven. But actually not only in heaven. It is not over. I'm using the charismatic terms now. It is not over until Jesus says it's over. You can be healed even today. Jesus can still heal you. Who said this is over? Who said you've got a full-blown what? He can still do it. But if he doesn't do it, if he chooses not to do according to his will, we're still going to achieve great in heaven. So you need to throw the anchor of your trouble in the ocean. And then let this ship, your ship of anxiety, stand still. The question is how? That's where we are going. How? How can we not let our heart not be troubled? I can understand you are saying, don't let your faith be moved. Don't let your faith be wavering. But how? How can I not have my faith be moved in these times of trouble, in these times of trial, when life is challenging like this? How can I stand still? How can I say, Christ, I understand? What is it that I can have to substitute for the trouble? Because if you've got something that is troubling you, you need to have something else that you will substitute with the trouble. Then you are balanced in your life. Then we move to verse 1, the last part of the verse. Here's the answer. Believe in God. Believe also in me. But wait a minute. It sounds like a command. Don't let your heart be troubled. In other words, don't let your faith be moved. Don't let your faith keep wavering. Stand still. But now you are saying, I can only do this by believing in God and believing also in Jesus. How can this be? How can this be a solution? How can this be a recommendation? Because Jesus Christ is talking to people who already believe, my friends. They already believe. You can't say, yeah, believe. I believe. I believe there is one God who exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and everything that is in it, he created through Christ, and nothing can stand without Jesus Christ. They believed in God. They believe that God is the creator of heaven and earth. They believe that God is the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Like everybody else, believe that there is a God. They believe. So how do you say believe? How is this a solution? How can this help me not to have a troubled heart if I already believe? That is the question. Especially these disciples. They even believe in Jesus. So you cannot say believe in God and also believe in me. You can tell the Pharisees you have to believe in Jesus, but these guys, they already believe in Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 14, John writes for us, the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. John saw the glory of the Son as the glory of the only one from the Father. Okay, let's move on. In verse 41 of the very same chapter, chapter number 1, Andrew finds Peter, his brother, and he says to him, we have found the Messiah, we have found the Christ, we have found the one who we've been long waiting for, the one who was to come into the world and heal our diseases, the one who was to come into the world and be the comforter of his people, the consolation of Israel. We have found him. In verse 45, after Jesus finds Philip, Philip finds Nathanael, and he says to Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophet wrote. His name is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He believes. Nathanael himself, he confessed before men, he confessed before everybody. He says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. In verse 49. You are the King of Israel. You are the promised seed. You are the one who was to come into the world. I believe. Peter, he says in chapter number 6, verse 68 and 69. Lord, to whom shall we go? We have the ways of eternal life, and we have believed, and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. these people believe. But Jesus Christ says, believe. You sitting here, you believe. But there's trouble. And he says, for you to know how to handle your trouble, you must believe. But we all believe. These guys believe. The point that I'm trying to make, everybody here that Jesus is talking to believes, like today. So how is this a recommendation? How is this a solution? How can you tell me something that I already do it? Don't tell me drive fast. I'm already driving fast. So we need to know, my friends, when you look in this text and you study it very carefully, those who have got study guides and commentaries, they can go and look. Actually, Jesus is saying to these people, you believe in God. This is the interpretation. You believe in God. Believe also in me. There's a continuity in this thing. Continue to believe in God. Continue to believe in me. That is what he's saying to us. We need to continue. That's why I say, don't dwell in the trouble. Continue to look forward to hell. Continue to lift your eyes unto heaven. This is a continuing thing. Continue trusting in Jesus. Continue putting your trust in the Lord. He says, you believe in God. Also believe in me in the same way you will believe in God. Believe in me. You believe that God is true. You believe that God never lies. You believe that God is sovereign. You believe that God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. If you believe that God is all dead, believe also in me. You believe that God has set up a day in which he shall judge the world in his righteousness by the man he has appointed. Christ says, continue to believe. That's our message today. That's how our troubled hearts can be elevated. If we can continue to look up to Christ, knowing that Jesus has got an answer for us, knowing that Jesus has got a way to satisfy our needs. In these verses following down, he actually continues to explain what is it that he's talking about. He's talking about, giving you a clue now for things to come. There are rooms. There's a dwelling place in heaven. So you can continue to look forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can continue to look forward unto him. You can continue to trust in the Lord. So what Jesus wants from us, my friend, is that we may hold on to our faith, that we may not let go of what we have been taught before. Don't let go of what you have been taught before. Don't let go of your faith. Don't let go of the things that you hold dear in your heart. Continue in faith. He knows we believe most. But the trouble is the issue of faith. That's why Peter somewhere else said, Lord, give us more faith. Lord, increase our faith. That is a recommendation here. We need to keep on believing. We need to keep on trusting in the Lord. If you don't want your faith to be moved, if you don't want your heart to be overwhelmed with anxiety, you need to continue to believe in the Lord. You must continue to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he knows our pains. He knows our troubles. He knows our sorrow. He knows our every need. His name is Jesus. He's all-knowing, as God is all-knowing. That's why he points to himself. He says, you know God. You have been taught of God from the beginning, from your youth, as you were children. The book of Deuteronomy tells us that the fathers used to teach their children the law of God. They know God. They believe in God. Now it's time to focus into Jesus Christ. Unlike today, unlike our day, my friends, people want to believe in God alone. Check everybody jumping around in the street. They want to believe in God, but talk about Jesus. Nobody wants to believe in Jesus. But hey, what are you going to do with verse number 6? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am life. If you don't have me, you don't have the way. If you don't have me, you don't have the truth. If you don't have me, you don't have life. So you need to focus in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't stand like a hero and try to look on yourself. You need to look unto the Lord. Do not allow trouble to sweep you away. So Jesus is saying, there seems to be trouble right now. in the surface there's trouble, but the actual fact is you need to know things about it to work together for good for them that love the Lord, those who are called by His grace, those who are called according to His purpose. Things is about to work for good for them. So friends, it may feel maybe like you have faced or you have hit rock bottom. You have come to a point where you think, this is it. This is what life has for me. There's nothing for me. But Jesus says, no, you need to keep trusting in the Lord. So what we see here, my friends, we see an advantage of being a child of God. So we see that in the midst of all trouble, in the midst of all confusion, in the midst of all this thing that is happening in the world, we have God. That is the recommendation. We have someone we can look up to. We have someone we can hold dear in our own hearts. We've got Jesus. We've got someone we can hold now. We've got someone we can keep holding until He's coming back. And the blessing, as we hold on to Jesus, He's also holding on to us. And even if we are troubled like this, we feel we want to let go, Christ Jesus will never let go. For He has died and purchased His sheep by His own blood. And those that the Father has given to Him, He shall lose none. Look what the psalmist says. Look at the hope of the psalmist. Look what the psalmist is saying in Psalm chapter number 28. Here's chapter 28. David. The point of the matter. The Lord is my strength and my shield. That is the point of this psalm. But I'm just going to read two verses. To You, O God, I call. My rock, be not deaf to me. Lest, if You be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my plea for mercy, when I cry to You for help, when I lift up my hand toward Your holy sanctuary. This is David. He's calling upon to the Lord. He's pointing to us that the hope, the trust is God. So do not be troubled. You will not hang yourself like Judas. You're not going to hang yourself like Judas. Judas is about to betray the Lord and going to hang himself. But Peter, you're going to deny me. But you're not going to hang yourself like Judas as long as you can keep believing in the Lord. As long as you can keep trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, all that you need is to conform to the image of Christ. All that we need is to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. To be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. To grow in the mercies of Christ. And to have joy in the Lord. That's all that is necessary. That's all that is needed from us. Trust in the Lord. The writer of Hebrews, chapter number 10. Verse 23, listen to these words. Listen. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? For He who promised is faithful. That is what Jesus wants from us, brothers and sisters. That we may hold fast to the confession of our hope. That is what is needed from us. So we need to see life through the eyes of faith and not be moved by trouble. Whether you are sick or not, whether you are poor or you are rich, Jesus knows our every need. Jesus understands. Jesus loves us. Jesus cares. That is why He says, you can see that He cares. That is why He doesn't want you to continue with a troubled heart. If you concentrate more in the verses to come, actually you can see why we are able to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see why we are able to trust the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ says, in a moment, soon and very soon, I'll be hanging at the cross, hanging for your sins. I'll be hanging at the cross, putting upon myself your sins, absorbing the wrath of God for you. Do not despair. Do not be troubled. I'm about to die for you. Don't worry what's going to happen to you this night. Don't worry about my departure. Don't worry that we don't see Jesus right now in this world. The Bible says, He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that wherever I am, that you may be also. That is exhortation. That is why we must keep believing in the Lord. For there is hope for us. There is hope for the future. There is hope for now. If we believe now and continue to believe now, continuing believing now. Don't worry about my departure. Sing praises to the Lord. Sing the Lord a new song. For He has done marvelous things. He has revealed His salvation to the ends of the earth. That is what Jesus was saying. And what does this say to us, my friends? As we look back to the cross, as we look back to the work of Christ, we do not have to despair. We cannot grieve now to those who have lost their loved one. You can't grieve like those who doesn't have hope. And even us, when we face trouble, we know that at least our trouble is in the hands of the Lord. When we pray, whatever we pray, the Lord hears us and is able to give abundantly. Trust in the Lord. Focus in Him. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe that God has sent Christ into this world to die for your sins, to die for your sins, for the sins of your friends, to die for the sins of these people who does not even want Jesus. But those in whom God shall call, they shall come. What we do, keep trusting in the Lord. Keep believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question, is there anything that's troubling you? Is there any burden that you have that is loaded upon your shoulders this morning? The message, don't dwell in your trouble. Keep trusting in the Lord. One of the hymns that we sang this morning says, heavy trials and temptation, is there trouble anywhere? We shall never be discouraged. Take to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. But yeah, in the similar way, Jesus Christ says, keep focusing unto me. So here is what I need to say. Unless you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, all that you'll always have is a troubled heart. Because Jesus Christ is saying the solution of a troubled heart is believing in Him. Keep believing in Him. So if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't have God in your life, all that you will always have, your payments that you will always have in your pocket, in your life, in everywhere you go, is trouble. Trouble is following you. If you want to run away from trouble, you run to Jesus. That's the message. If you want to stay in trouble, please stay away from Jesus. Because you enjoy trouble. But I don't think people enjoy trouble. But their hearts are just hardened. Here's the solution. Come to me, all of you who are heavy laden. Cast your burdens upon me. That is the message that Jesus Christ preached in Matthew chapter number 11. So, you don't have Jesus, you only have troubles. And you're not going to only have a troubled heart because of the things that are happening in this world. You're not going to only have a troubled heart for the things that are taking place around you. You'll also have a troubled heart because of the sin that is indwelling you, because of the sin that is keeping you low, because of the sin that has caused you to sink and sink as though you will rise no more. In closure, my friends, let me point to you the love of Christ in this matter. The love of Christ for the troubled heart. We must know that Jesus was heading to the cross at this moment. If we remember very well, the issue of the cross troubled Jesus. The Bible says He was troubled in heart, He was troubled in spirit. But look, listen very carefully. Look at this. While Christ was troubled, He did not look at His own suffering. He took His time to comfort His disciples. A very troubled Christ took His own time to comfort those people who are supposed to be comforting Him. They are not the one who are going to be crucified. He is the one who is going to be suffering. But He's taking His time to comfort people who are just sad because He has just told them the truth. He did not at the time nurse His own emotions. But He put Himself aside and put us first. That's why the Bible says He loved His own unto death. That is the love of Christ. He loved His people even unto death. Today we love Him because He loved us first. So my friends, trouble must remain with Jesus. In other words, don't come to Christ and keep your trouble. If you come to Christ, give your trouble to Christ. Because He is love. He is merciful. He is gracious. He is kind. He has promises. He says, I will come for you. In the very same chapter, I will come for you. I will come get you. I've got a place that I'm going to prepare for you so that where I am, you may be also. Because I'm the way. How are you going to get there unless I go this path? How are you going to get to heaven unless I go and die tonight for you? That is the message. How do you expect to go to heaven if I don't die? Brothers, we need to be reminded of the cross of Christ. He had to suffer for us. So we don't have to suffer for ourselves. We don't have to keep trouble in ourselves. We can cast our burdens upon Him. Why? Because the Bible says, He cares. If your faith is wavering this morning, if somehow something is troubling you and is moving you offshore, here is the answer from the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep trusting in the Lord. Keep believing in Jesus Christ because He is in control. He will never fail. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Keep trusting. Keep looking unto Him. Keep holding unto Jesus Christ and never let go. So what Jesus is saying to His disciples in the midst of this trouble, in the midst of this confusion, I know I have just said, Peter, you will deny me. I know I just said, Judas is going to betray me. All of you are going to be scattered like a sheep without a shepherd. I know you are overwhelmed with trouble right now. You don't know what's going to happen to you when I leave. Like today, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, for we don't have Christ who shepherds us like a shepherd, shepherding the sheep physically. But we have Christ shepherding us by His Spirit. He says, I know you're suffering these things. Don't think I don't know. Don't think I don't care. But here is the solution. Keep trusting in the Lord. Do we trust in the Lord? Do we continue all the time to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because that's the message of Christ. I pray, my friends, that we may find this message suitable for any situation that we come across. Keep believing. That's the thing. Keep believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. For He never lies. No lie was found in Him. He's faithful and just. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Lord, our gracious King and God, thank you for this morning, for reminding us of what not to do and what to do. We must not let our hearts be troubled, but we must keep believing and trusting in you and in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We thank you this morning, oh God, for such a reminder. It is hot. We are so tired. But, oh God, may this message penetrate in our hearts and help us for the future, even today, where suitable. May it sink to the heart of those who have heard and those who have not, that they may come to hear as well. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.